Well, good afternoon, folks. This is Pastor Gene Howard out there in internet land. I'm here at the classroom at Challenge Ministry in Jacksonville, Florida. I'll be bringing a lesson tonight. Pastor Bob, his throat is something that's going on. He's either got a what's going around, or anyway, he's getting grumbly in the throat and hard for him to speak. So you keep him in prayer. And for those of you listening, I'll be teaching tonight on the doctrine of God. And we're going to jump right into it right after prayer. Father, I thank you for this privilege and this honor to be able to come and do, Father God, what you've called me to do. And I thank you, Father God, for those who are here in the class. I'm asking God to open up the ears and their hearts to receive and understand. And those who are listening out by the airways, Father God, through the internet, I'm asking, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would open up the hearts, Lord, to hear and receive, Lord, what would be taught here tonight, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for this honor and this privilege of studying together and learning your word. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit, I ask you to anoint me now. Let me die to self and anoint me now, Holy Spirit, to bring forth your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, the doctrine of God. Now, I teach a little bit different than Pastor Bob, but the truth will come out, okay? The truth will be there. So, you were supposed to have learned Genesis 1 through 26, did you? Memory verse.
Oh, I can't repeat it.
You can't repeat it, okay. How about the other one?
Oh, yeah.
Sure you can repeat, what, John 11, 35? There you go. But make a concentrated effort to memorize these scriptures when it says memory verse. Normally when I teach, if I'm bringing a class through, I have the students say their memory verse to another person. So you're getting off easy, okay? But it's very important that you hide that word in your heart. And it will come back. You won't forget it. You may not have it just exact, but the word's hidden in your heart. Okay, the doctrine of God. Your scripture reading was the Gospel of Luke and John chapter 11. Your memory verses was Genesis 1:26. Which is, and God said, let us make man in our image. Who is our? There you go. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And as we look at that, and look at it coincides with Psalms 8, 4, and 6. If you would turn there, Psalms 8, chapter 8, verse 4 and 6. Now, Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth. And in Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him, that's man, a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him, that's man, to have dominion over thy works, over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. So, I don't know if you ever thought this or not, but normally, if you approach, you ever been in a field with cattle, cows? Normally, they fear man. I mean, you can, it depends on how you raise them up, but they know that you have dominion over them. It's God has put it in them. And all of the animals and stuff is like that. They know because we have dominion over those creatures. So the lesson objective is to identify the emotions that we share with our Heavenly Father. Many of the emotions, and hopefully you found this as you study in your lessons, we have a lot of the emotions that God has. And as we continue our study on this doctrine of God, we discover that God, our Heavenly Father, has emotions. And as we get through here, you'll find out some of those emotions that he has. And because man was created in God's image, that is, having the many characteristics of God, that but lacking the fullness of those characteristics, man has also emotions. So God is everything. Man was created in his likeness, in his image. And we have some of these emotions that God has. But many times, God has his emotions under control. How about us? I would like to say yes, but not always. Not always. You like to say you could, but not always. But God does. So we need to discover these truths concerning God's essence, his attributes, his characteristics. God's essence. You know, a lot of times in perfumes, they use the essence of a certain type of fragrant plant. In other words, it's part of that plant that they've extracted from to make the perfume. Well, the essence of God, his attributes and his characteristics, we can better understand our Heavenly Father upon completion of this study and see how Genesis 1:26 and Psalms 8:4 through 6 will be more meaningful than ever before. So the doctrine of God, we're going to look at his emotions and we're going to look at our emotions. How does his emotions, how do we compare to his emotions? Do we have some in the same? So you were in Genesis 1:26, we find that God created man in his own image. In other words, there are similarities in man and God. God and man have emotions. God's emotions are in perfect balance, never out of control. One emotion that man has that God doesn't. Anybody want to take a stab at that? There's one emotion that we have that God doesn't.
It's got to do with sin.
Sin?
I would say. But, I mean, if that could be in them. Sometimes these emotions and attributes and all that stuff overlap. Mm-hmm.
How about fear?
Fear. Okay.
We have fear. Who's God afraid of? See, no one. I mean, God, you know. So that is one emotion that man has that God doesn't have, is fear. So we're going to look at these emotions. In your opinion, we ask, in what way is God like man and man like God in the area of these emotions? And God's, like I said before, God's emotions are never out of control, nor never not in keeping with his character and his holiness. So God is never out of control. He's always in keeping with his characteristics and attributes. Man, however, man's emotions, on the other hand, are often out of control and not in keeping with God's character, is it? Or his holiness. So you were asked to find from the assigned scriptures in this lesson, list the emotions that you find revealed in the life of Jesus. Talking about Jesus now. Jesus is God in the flesh. So his emotions and my emotions, then you were asked to give a scriptural reference for those. So as I grade these, I'll be looking at those. You may not have the same ones that we have on our lesson plan, but it doesn't matter. As long as you got the emotion and I can see the scripture that you got, and I'll look it up to make sure you're on track. So can somebody give me one?
Love.
Love, yeah. God has love, don't he? Man has love. T- To give you an example of the scripture reference, we won't go through all of these, but John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How? What's another tatik?
Sorrow.
Compassion. Yeah.
Anger.
Yep. So love, joy. How about jealousy? God expresses jealousy, doesn't he? So does man. How about hatred? Sorrow, anger, peace, grief. All of those are emotions that God has found. We've found through the scriptures that God expressed those things. And also man expresses those.
Agony.
Sir?
Agony.
Yes. Agony. So the doctrine of God, his attributions and essence, paragraph 2 here, the definitions of attributes. In other words, we said that God has this attribute, then we're saying that it's an inherent characteristic of God. We know God is love. We know he hates sin. So we know God is holy, isn't he? So that's attributes. What about this word essence? That's the ultimate nature, the properties or attributes which by means something or someone can be placed in its proper class and identified as being what it is. That's the essence, the ultimate nature. And it should be our essence to be like Jesus. That's our nature. In other words, that should be coming out. We should be like Jesus, doing the things of Jesus. That's our nature, to reproduce. So we should be reproducing what? Fruit of the Spirit. We should be reproducing others who come into the kingdom of God through our own essence, talking to others about. So with respect to God, we can identify the following attributes or elements of his essence. And you were asked to complete the following based on scriptures that were furnished. So we gave you John, 1 John 1:5, and that would, God is light. We gave you that one so you'd know what you're looking for. And then the second one was 1 John 4:16, God is what?
Love.
And if we go on down, we give you the scripture references that 1 Peter 1:15,
holy.
Psalms 18:26, God is
pure.
Daniel 9:14, God is
righteous.
John 4:24 and Psalms 147:4, God is
spirit.
He's omniscient, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Every and then John 4:24 and Revelation 19:6.
I say true.
Omnipotent. We got those three. We got omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and then God in 4:24 of John and in Psalms 139, 1 through 24, God is everywhere. Omnipresent. Omnipresent. So those three, God is omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's omnipresent. In other words, he's all-knowing, is omniscient, omnipotent, he's all-powerful, omnipresent, he's everywhere, all the time. Isaiah 45:21, God is, number 9, just.
I said a just Savior.
Just. He's just. Psalms 103:8, God is
merciful.
Slow to anger, isn't he? Deuteronomy 33:27, God is
eternal.
Malachi 3:6, Hebrews 6:17, God is
immutable.
Yep. Unchangeable. So you just take those scriptures right there. God has never changed, is he? He's unchangeable. So why would he accept some of the things that's going on in our world today when he didn't back then? He doesn't. So you know what I'm saying? If he's unchangeable, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's unchangeable. His character about this, or his view on this. You know, God, if God says this is an abomination back in Daniel's time or back in Leviticus time, and we come over here in today's time, if that practice is practice, is it an abomination to God? Sure is. But there's movements out there today that don't want to hear that. That's, you know, no. We don't want to go there. But God goes there. It's His Word. He's unchangeable. So God is long-suffering. That was number 14, Numbers 14, 18. In Jeremiah 3:12, what did you find there? Forgiving, merciful. Genesis 1:1, Hebrews 11:3. God is the source of what?
All that is.
All it is, all creation. Genesis 2:7, God's the source of what?
Life.
And John 3:16, God is the source of salvation. Yep. So the doctrine of God in the Trinity, in other words, His tripart being, in Genesis 1:26, we find that God speaks and says, let us make man in our image, as we started out. If we properly understand us to mean it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know from Scripture that the Godhead is composed of three persons, as just listed. Then we come to the conclusion that although the Godhead does consist of three separate persons, each has a distinct role. God the Father has a distinct role. God the Son has a distinct role. God the Holy Spirit has a distinct role. And they are three in one with respect to all that they have done, are doing, or going to do. So as we look in the next area there, he said, with that mind and thought, that God is three persons in one, we ask you to describe in your own words that same spiritual principle using languages or symbols of today that you're familiar with. And that is to say, what can you say or think that we can encounter in everyday life while it is one? It can reveal itself or express itself in three different expressions. What'd you get, Fred?
I said water. It can be a solid, a liquid, or a vapor. You can interchange them any way you want to, but it's all going to come out to the same thing.
Still going to come back to water, isn't it? That's right. Did you get anything different, Sharon?
Well, I just said water, liquid, ice,
yeah,
or steam.
Yep. Water, steam, ice. You can start with water, steam it. You can freeze it, condense it back. It returns back to its original state of water.
I use Bible math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1.
What's that?
Bible math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1.
Okay. I never heard that one, but did you get anything different to teach? Okay.
I heard it's like egg.
An egg, yeah.
Yeah, they say, you know, egg has three parts.
Right.
And
to have an egg, you got to have the shell, the white, and the yolk.
Yeah.
That makes up an egg. I got that one written down. I've used that one before. How about you? Are you a father?
Yes.
Are you a son?
Yes.
Are you a husband?
Yes.
Okay. Still one person is. Here's another one, time, space, and matter. Okay, in other words, those are some things that we can use in today's language to help explain to someone about the Trinity. Because it's hard to explain to someone who hasn't been around or doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask you in number four there, in your own words, based upon your reading of Scriptures, briefly describe your understanding of each of the three persons in the Godhead. And we're talking about, okay, how was God involved in the creation? How was Jesus involved in the creation? And how was the Holy Spirit involved in creation? And then we get into redemption. How was God involved in redemption plan? How was Jesus involved with the redemption plan? How was the Holy Spirit involved? So all three are involved in creation. All three are involved in redemption. So the question was, in your own words, based upon your reading of these scriptures, briefly describe your understanding of the three persons in the Godhead in creation. So, in creation, all three members of the triune Godhead were involved in creation. In Genesis 1:1. Jesus, how was he involved in creation? Jesus holds the preeminence in relation to creation. Look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. This is Jesus we're talking about. How was he involved in creation? Are we there? Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him," him is Jesus, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him." And we're talking about that scripture verse is describing Christ. Christ was involved in all creation, even those things in the invisible realm that we can't see, and those things which are visible. So, well, what about the Holy Spirit? We know that the Holy Spirit was involved. How do you know that? Look at Genesis 1:2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And we told you that before, that God was involved. All three members of the triune Godhead were involved. That in the beginning, God, that equates to the word Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. In verse 2, the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of who? God moved upon the face of the waters. That was the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at redemption. How was God the Father involved with redemption plan? Okay, no problem. Well, there had to be a sacrifice, weren't they? Who was the sacrifice?
Jesus.
Who provided the sacrifice?
God.
God provided his son to be the sacrifice. So without shedding of blood, there is no remission of what?
Sin.
So it was Christ's blood, that sinless, willing blood sacrifice upon the cross at Calvary. God provided his son. God provided the sacrifice. And the sacrifice that God provided was his son, Jesus Christ. Now, what did Jesus do for redemption? How was he involved with redemption?
He paid the price.
He paid the price, didn't he? He became the blood sacrifice. God provided the lamb upon the cross. In other words, his son. And his blood was shed. So Jesus became the blood sacrifice. Okay, now how about the Holy Spirit? Look at John 16, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. John 16, verses 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, This is Jesus speaking. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, who's the Comforter? Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he, that's the Holy Spirit, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me, Jesus is saying. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And then of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who's the prince of this world? Satan. Satan, the devil. Yep. So, the Holy Spirit, what he does, now that Christ is gone and he's sitting on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us, it's the Holy Spirit who is now living and dwelling in and amongst men. And it's the Holy Spirit that convicts sinners of sin. No one can come to the Father except the Father draw him. And how does he draw him? By the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot save anyone. But you can share the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit can convict that person and say, hey, I am a sinner. You know, it's the Holy Spirit. He convicts sinners of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And he draws them to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's in the redemption plan. That's in redemption, how they're all three are involved. God provided the sacrifice. Jesus was and became the sacrifice. It's the Holy Spirit now that brings forth the convicting power and the righteousness and judgment. So hopefully you're getting a better understanding now of who your Heavenly Father is and how much like you that he is. And how much like him that you are. In essence, in characteristics. So, as you continue your studies and seeking to know him better, you know, you become closer. The more you know about God, the closer you become to God. And the more you know about God, the more you know, hey, he has made me so much like him. If we're open to his Holy Spirit. Any questions? I know it was not a long lesson. It was a briefly short lesson. But there's a lot of truth here. And helps you get a better understanding of just who God is. Because we are on the doctrine of God. And there will be others about God and the doctrine of God and the doctrine of Jesus as we go through this. I'm going to sign off right now. I'm going to pray, and then I'll give you your other assignments. Father God, I thank you once again for the privilege of standing here teaching. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we can come here and we can hear, we can understand, and learn more about you, Lord God, and what you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you so much that you saved our souls. We thank you, Father God, that you filled us with your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Father God, that we have been made the righteousness by what you did on Calvary through redeeming our souls. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you out there listening now, I'm going to turn this off, and I will be back to the streaming shortly.